You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side, a big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Hello, welcome along to the latest edition of the League podcast. This is the podcast for the leagues 1 and 2. Do we have another name for that podcast, Alex, on this part of the podcast? Because I know we call it the League podcast, but the other one can easily be called the Championship podcast.
This is the League podcast, the original, I think.
The original and League podcast.
Then the other League podcast is just Pete Farris talking about some Championship stuff.
Okay. So that's like the Pete Farris podcast.
I've never heard anyone so happy at introducing a podcast as you were there. That was brilliant, Dave.
I get overcome with emotion when that jingle's on.
It's a good jingle.
And then it all stems from that jingle, and then I just get, I get too amped up for the podcast. And
I started
with the big hello.
Well, let's keep going. Let's keep the positive energy flowing.
It is Dave Kellner here alongside Alex Dunn for the League podcast.
Hi.
And we're going to go through 6 games, 3 of which are in League 1 and 3 of which are in League 2. So let's start with Barnsley versus Southend in League 1. Barnsley 19-20, the draw 5-2 and Southend 14-5. Barnsley, ever since November, end of November, have been a revelation in this league. They've only got 2 losses and a draw since the end of November. They've won the rest, and they've now won 6 in a row at home in the league as well. Southend only 4 points behind Barnsley in the league table, but we've got 2 teams trending in different directions here, and Southend lost their last 3 on the road.
Yeah, I do like Southend. I think they're a decent outfit. Whether they'll go up or not is another matter, but the story is Barnsley here.
Yeah.
28th of November. Cast your mind back, Dave Kellner. Do you remember what you were doing that day?
It was... No, I've got no idea.
Something to do with golf, probably.
Probably, yeah. I was probably looking at a golf event.
28th of November, Barnsley were bottom of League 1.
Is that right? I didn't realise that.
5th of March, or as we are now on the 10th of March,
yep,
in the playoffs. That is incredible. And I can't remember something quite as dramatic as this. You get sides that struggle early doors, pick up, finish mid-table.
What about Leicester City?
But they didn't start badly, did they?
No, they didn't.
That's season to season.
Yeah.
It's incredible from Barnsley. Whether they can keep it going remains to be seen, because there's 2 ways of looking at this. They'll either keep going and possibly even push for automatic promotion, which sounds ludicrous. They've got a fair bit of ground to make up, that said. Or they'll lose a game, confidence will go, and they might struggle to stay in the playoffs.
Yep.
Either way, they've been absolutely fantastic of late. Good to watch. They're getting the results. And I think they'll probably win this one as well. Like I said, Southend are not a bad side. They're currently in 10th. They're not the greatest travellers, as you've said. Their home form is pretty important to where they are in the league. But they have still won 5 games on the road this season. But as you said, they lost at Scunthorpe, Bradford and Port Vale in recent weeks. So they will need to pick up if they're going to mount another bid, if you like, to finish in the playoffs. Look, if they win this, they go a point behind Barnsley and possibly a point off the playoffs again. If they lose this, they're going to be at least 7 points adrift,
yes,
of the playoffs. But I just can't see them winning this. Barnsley are just so good at the minute. They're riding the crest of a wave. They're the form side in the country.
Yep.
And the fact that you're getting them at just shy of even money, to me, is actually good value.
I think it is as well. Everyone talks about, every time I'm on in-play radio on a Saturday afternoon, Gav always mentions Sam Winall as a likely goal scorer. He's 23-20. You need to keep an eye on Ashley Fletcher, though, as well, for Barnsley. He's got 3 and 4 now. He's 19-10 to score any time, which looks fair to me for a guy that's in form.
Mm. Well, you look at some of the sides around Barnsley, and a lot of them have got a standout player. And if he performs, they perform. Barnsley, okay, although Sam Winall's scoring a lot of goals, they're capable. They're all capable of chipping in, maybe not with goals, but big performances. They're doing really well. And I don't see why their momentum would stop on Saturday. So, quite simple. Barnsley on the outrights have to be the play for me.
Blackpool versus Coventry is next. Blackpool are 11-5 to win this match. The draw 11-5 and Coventry in the betting at 13-10. Two teams here in pretty poor form, Alex. Coventry did look all set for a playoff spot, but following that 6-0 win against Bury, they've hit the skids. Four straight losses for Coventry. That looks like a surprising run of form, but the 6-0 was the real anomaly in that spell because they've not really played well since the turn of the year, Coventry, barring that Bury result and the win against Crewe at the beginning of January. As for Blackpool, they've failed to win any of their last six league games, drawn two and lost four in that spell. They've only scored once in three as well. So two teams are kind of struggling a little bit here.
Yeah, I couldn't back Coventry in their current form, which is strange because they're a much better side than Blackpool, and Blackpool have struggled all season, and people have been keen to be against them all season and last season. It's been almost a banker in people's ackers to just go against Blackpool. They've not been doing so well of late. Jason actually tipped them up a couple of weeks ago. And I thought, I couldn't be back in Blackpool. But then I find myself possibly doing it right now. Coventry in dreadful form. Blackpool aren't much better. Both sides do need points here for different reasons. Coventry to get back into the playoffs, or at least get back in touch with those that are pushing for playoff places. Blackpool know that a win could get them out of the drop zone. You look at sides who are down there, who've been down there, Shrewsbury, Chesterfield, Fleetwood, their form's all picked up in recent weeks. Doncaster and Blackpool are on the slide. So they do need to arrest that pretty soon. I think if pushed for a pick on the outright here, I would take Blackpool, but it won't be the main selection in the game. I think it'd be low scoring, to be honest.
Yep.
Both teams to score no and under 2.5 goals is 19-20. I don't think that's too bad, to be honest. Under 2.5 goals is it was a little bit too short for me. So you're looking for a bit more value. And we mentioned sides who have a dependency on players. Adam Armstrong's been the player that Coventry have depended on this season.
Yes.
And if he's not performing, then it tends to be that they don't perform. I think Blackpool could sneak something here. Yeah, I'm fairly happy to take them, to be honest. Blackpool, incidentally, are bottom of the over 2.5 table.
Okay.
If you like.
Yeah.
Only 10 games have gone over 2.5 this season. 25 have been unders. Coventry are middling in that degree, actually. They've had 19 overs, 16 unders. But Blackpool, by a distance, are the lowest scoring team on average, you know,
yes,
in games in the Championship. And I think that'll continue here. So a tight one. Blackpool might just nick it, but as far as I'm concerned, just play nothing to happen, almost.
Yeah.
It sounds boring, but money's money, isn't it?
It is. Under 2.5 goals is 8-13. Under 1.5 goals could be worth a look at 2-1. You mentioned Adam Armstrong as well. Only Sam Winnall, who we mentioned earlier, has been involved in more League One goals than Armstrong this season. Armstrong's got 19 goals and 3 assists. He's 13-8 to score any time. And if Coventry are to perform, it's more than likely he's going to be the catalyst for that performance. 13-8, Adam Armstrong to score in this game. Last of the League One matches is Gillingham versus Crewe. Gillingham 8-13 to win this match. The draw 14-5 and Crewe in the market at 19-5. Gillingham have scored the most goals in the league this season, but their form has tailed off in 2016. They're now clinging on, or looking like clinging on to a playoff spot with Barnsley quickly hot on their heels. Mm. And Gillingham dropped off the pace of Burton and Wigan at the top of the table. They had been looking for that automatic spot. I think now, if you offered them a playoff spot, they'd definitely accept it.
Yeah, I think they would. I don't really know what's happened, to be honest, because I'd say they have been my favourite team in League One so far this season. In terms of, well, we've got two teams here that I have a real soft spot for, which is easy for me to say. Both teams are criminally overpriced week in, week out.
Right.
Gillingham, for a side with the home record that they have had this season, they've been absolutely phenomenal at home. They've got the best home record in the division. were, me and Jason mentioned this every time Gillingham at home, criminally overpriced.
Right, okay.
Pushing even money against mid-table sides.
Yeah.
It wasn't right. Crewe, on the other hand, the traders clearly do not think much of, because Crewe are consistently against the same mid-table sides. Crewe will be going off 4-1, 9-2. Also wrong. So I was looking at this game thinking, what are they going to do with this? Well, it turns out they've gone all in Gillingham.
Yeah, they have.
They've gone firmly in the Gillingham camp. And that 8-13 is, I couldn't put you off it as such, because I do think Gillingham will win the game. But it's hardly knock your socks off, is it?
No, I think backing a team with just one win in seven at 8-13 doesn't seem like a wise move to me.
What I would say is, for all that they haven't been in great form, lost three and drawn one in the last four games, three of those have been on the road, and their away form isn't as good as their home form. The only home loss that they've had in recent times, anyway, was that one to Chesterfield, which, granted, is a shock, bit of a blow, but they can bounce back from it. And for all it is a bit, not doom and gloom, but like you said, they're looking down rather than up at the minute.
Definitely.
If they win this and the results go their way, then they're right back in the automatic promotion hunt. So, all to play for them. Crewe don't travel well, typically. For all I've said that they're overpriced a lot, and they are, generally, it tends to be at home that you want to be with them. They got a really creditable draw at home to Burton last week, who are top of the table, and could I see them getting something here?
Both teams to score here, I like.
Yeah.
I think Crewe will get on the score sheet. I think Gillingham will definitely score at home as well. Both teams have scored in Crewe's last six matches. I think both teams will get a goal in this game. It is 7-10, yes.
That's okay, though.
Both teams to score, but I think that will happen.
One bet that I liked, and this will be the eventual selection, is Gillingham to win by a goal. So I think that kind of incorporates your thinking into that.
Yes.
I think Gillingham will win, but I think it'll be tight. I think 2-1 is probably the most likely scoreline if you are looking for a scoreline. But Gillingham to win by a goal is 13-5. That's on the match handicap pages. It's the tie handicap. Gillingham minus a goal, Crewe plus a goal, 13-5. I think Gillingham will win, but it won't be plain sailing. One interesting stat that I picked up on, and I don't especially fancy it for this game, but it could be an in-play wager. If people fancy it.
Yes.
Crewe have drawn 12 games so far this season. In 11 of those games that they have drawn, they've also been drawing at half time.
Right, okay.
Draw, half time, full time, is 5-1. It's big. If you're going to back the draw, you may as well back that. The draw is, was it 20?
The draw is in the market at 14-5, the draw.
You can enhance that out to fives.
Yeah.
It's just something to look at. If it's a draw at half-time, you're still going to get a big price, because Gillingham, with them being so short, if it's 0-0 at half-time or 1-1 or whatever it is, they will be 10-11 even money-ish.
Yes.
Still going to get a good price on the draw then.
Yep.
And statistically, Crewe are remarkably, the drawing at half-time, and there's been plenty of goals in the second half of games. It's not that it's all happening early then stopping, but they just seem to end every half fairly evenly. So if you aren't a Gillingham backer, and you do think they're too short, that's certainly where the value lies. But I do think Gillingham will just edge it.
Let's move on to League Two. We'll start with Oxford versus Leyton Orient. And Oxford are 10-11 to win this match. The draw is 23-10, with Leyton Orient in the betting at 14-5. Oxford, little chance of winning the title now and hunting down Northampton. Anything less than automatic promotion will be a bitter disappointment for Oxford, though. Leyton Orient, meanwhile, chasing that playoff spot, but they were disappointing against Luton last weekend. I've got a bet that I really like here. I'm waiting to see what you say about this match, but I've got one that I like.
Okay, I thought this was quite a difficult one, to be honest. Oxford's, we've just said about Gillingham and Crewe, Oxford are consistently underpriced. They're a good side, don't get me wrong, but you will, throughout the season, you've been able to get better prices on Northampton than you have on Oxford in similar games.
That's correct, which has been weird.
Yeah, and that's wrong. Oxford is still a good side, though. Don't get me wrong. They're a good side. They deserve to be exactly where they are. And they're doing quite nicely. Thank you very much. They should get promoted, barring not a collapse, but they'd have to really underperform or show some form that they haven't shown all season in order to drop out of the automatic slots. So It's all looking okay for Oxford. Leighton Orient's honeymoon period appears to be over. Kevin Nolan, of course, in charge now at Leighton Orient. He took over. Results really did pick up. Not that they were having an appalling season before then, but they did pick up. And now it's just trying to find some consistency. They've been a bit in and out. But they are only out of the playoffs on goal difference. This is a big game for them. They'll have been disappointed to lose at Luton last time. But Oxford's home form hasn't been scintillating of late. For all that they do have a decent enough home record, in recent times, well, in 2016, lost at home to Bristol Rovers, lost at home to Northampton, at home to Accrington. Yes, they battered York last time out, but anyone could do that at the minute. York are awful, with all due respect to York fans.
They are.
You're not doing very well, I'm sure you're aware.
Yeah.
So for all that they won 4-0, you can almost take that with a pinch of salt. It'll be a confidence booster, but little more than that. Orient are unbeaten in 5 games away from home, and they've scored in every single away game in 2016, so in this calendar year, they've scored in every single away game. Oxford have conceded at home in every home game in 2016, barring that York result. So I'm saying we can scrap that York result from the record. Doesn't count. And you've got a away side that score a lot away from home, a home side that score a lot at home. Both teams score 10 to 11.
Yes.
I like that a lot.
Yep.
And if you want to enhance that, I do think Oxford will nick it. 16 to 5 for Oxford to win and both teams to score is a pretty massive leap from the outright price.
10 to 11.
I'm surprised it's that big.
Yeah.
So again, that's where the value lies, Oxford and both teams to score 16 to 5. But I'm quite happy to play it a little bit safer. Just quite simple, both teams to score 10 to 11 will do just fine for me.
Jay Simpson, I like to score here at 13 to 8. He's got more goals away from home than anyone in the league this season. Jay Simpson, 13 to 8 looks good to me. 12 goals away from home this season. So I like him to to get on the score sheet any time.
He's running away with the top goal scorer in the division as well, with 23.
Yeah.
Only, well, there's no one can even get near him and haven't been all season. So, no, I think it's a tricky one, that. And I certainly couldn't put you off Leighton Orient.
Yeah.
But both teams to score, for me, is the pick.
Luton Crawley is next. Luton 8-11 to win this match. The draw is 12-5 and Crawley are 18-5. Luton in great form at the moment, Alex. They've won their last 4 in the league and they're now up to 12th in the table. Crawley not going as well. They've just got 2 wins in their last 9. However, I'm not sure I'd want Luton at odds on. 8-11 Luton to win this game. Crawley have been in dismal form away from home. I can understand why the price is what it is, because Crawley have lost 7 of their last 8 away games in the league. They did win the other. So I suppose you've got a team in form against a team that doesn't travel well.
I think Luton win.
Do you think?
I agree it's not a great price, but it's...
Think it's fair enough?
Yeah, I'd take it, I think. If you're putting an Acker together or anything like that, and you do fancy Luton, I could not put you off them. They are in great form, as you said. They won 4 in a row. And that means that they're sort of positioning mid-table obscurity, because at the bottom it has concerned, and has concerned for most of the season, 3-4 sides. And at the minute it's Dagenham, York. Hartlepool got a win last week to drag them out of there. It looks to be Dagenham and York who are going to be going down. And then up at the top you've got Northampton running away with it. Then a little mini-league between Oxford and Plymouth. Then maybe another mini-league, Portsmouth, Bristol Rovers and Accrington. And then between Wimbledon in 7th, going down to even Exeter in 14th. There's only 5 points between them. So there's plenty to play for. And they are in a promotion push now, Luton. Make no bones about it.
Yep.
4 wins in a row, and if they get another win here, they're going to be right on the fringes of the playoff places. Crawley have got nothing to play for. They're in 16th. They're not going to go up. They're not going to go down. I think it's quite hard at this stage of the season to be a mid-table side, because you've just got nothing to
drive you forward.
So I think Luton are worthy favourites. Would I make them 8-11? I wouldn't make them much bigger, if I'm honest.
That's fair.
I think they should be odds on, but only just. What I would say is Luton have only won 5 games at home all season, which is surprising, because I often think them at Kenilworth would have been really solid. They've won 9 on the road, which is incredible for Luton, but yeah, I think they do win this. Crawley have lost 11 of 17 games on the road this season.
They've been very poor.
They are
poor
away from home. With Luton in their current form, on the crest of a wave to make it 5 wins in a row, 8-11, it'll do.
There you go.
No more.
There you go. York Barnet is the last game we're going to preview on this podcast. A York of 15-8 to win it. The draw 9-4 and Barnet 13-10. Oh dear, York City. Oh dear, York City and your fans. They're dropping out of the Football League. They've lost their last five. They're now 5 points away from safety. Barnet, on the other hand, 15th in the table. And they have picked up recently. They've got 11 points from a possible 15 in their last five matches in League Two. And they won the reverse fixture as well back in October. Won that one 3-1. All four of those goals, incidentally, came in the second half in that game. I mean, York's run, you think, oh, lost five in a row. They can't have done that badly all season. But that's the second time they've done this season. They lost seven consecutively between October and December. So it's not as if this is just a blip for York. This is their norm.
Yeah. I mean, first sentence of my notes just says York are rubbish.
Which is accurate.
And it is harsh on them because I remember going, I watched Newcastle in pre-season at York. And York actually they played nice football and you watched them and thought,
right,
they could have a decent
season. Could
see something
here. From them.
Yeah, they had a young lad in on trial, Reece Thompson, who they ended up signing, and he looked lively. And they looked like a side that could go on to make a, well, to have a decent season. You can't say, oh, they're going to go up or, you know, but you wouldn't have expected them to be where they are now. There was a fair bit of optimism around the club at that point. But as you said, the season has just gone from bad to worse. They're not getting battered left, right and centre results-wise. They did lose 4-0 at Oxford, but otherwise they've been losing by the odd goal here or just shipping a few too many. They haven't scored enough goals of late, and that's been their issue for most of the season, to be honest. But they've conceded the most goals in the league, with 66 going in against them. And it does look pretty bleak.
Oh, it looks very grim.
You've got York and Dagenham there. They've both played 35 with 26 and 25 points respectively. Then a 5-point jump to Hartlepool, but Hartlepool have three games in hand. And then another 3-point jump to Stevenage. Yeovil have done well to get themselves out of it, but it's not looking good. Barnet are another of those sides that have nothing to play for. But they're finishing the season, and I think we can say finishing the season now, can't we? We've got 11 games left.
Yep.
Sort of turning for home, if you like. Barnet's away form this season as a whole, rank. Absolutely dreadful. But their away form in 2016 would actually give them a chance here. They're unbeaten in four on the road now, Barnet. They drew at Stevenage, won at Dagenham, drew at Accrington and won at Newport. There's only the Accrington game there that is a genuinely tough away day. The rest of them, you'd be expecting them to put up a fight at least. But they're starting to pick results up all of a sudden. They'll win this, Barnet, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
They're 13-10. It's not the best 13-10 you're ever going to see, but I mean, look, it's a side that don't win that often away from home, who are getting dangerously close to being even money. I wouldn't be lumping on, but you can't bat York at the minute, and not at that price.
No, 15-8 short for York City the way they are playing at the moment. Just one goal scorer maybe to have a look at for York, Bradley Fewster.
Yep.
Who's 9-5 to score any time. He's got 5 in his last 7 league games for York City, so he might be worth a glance at 9-5 if you're looking for a pro York bet.
That is a big price. On loan from Middlesbrough, and he's got some talent, actually, at a certain level, at least.
Yes.
No, I know York will be pinning their hopes on him, but I think Barnet will win. And for all that York, you mentioned Fuster scored a few throughout the season. They've let a lot in. Over 2.5 has to be a play. 19-20.
Is that your main bet in the match?
Yes.
Okay.
Over 2.5 would probably be the main selection at 19-20, because you're getting to a similar price as you are for Barnet to win the game.
Yeah.
You're getting there anyway. I'll return you back to my trusty over 2.5 table.
Yes.
York atop of it.
Yep, they are indeed.
23 times in 35 games that over 2.5 goals has landed in their games. Only 12 times this season that it hasn't. And Barnet's, no back numbers either, 7th in that particular table, with 19 games having gone over 2.5 and 16 under. Stats-wise, that's a great bet, and I'm surprised to see it priced as, fairly, if you like.
Yeah, 19-20 is very far.
I think it's a really good bet. But and if you want to put the two together, Barnet and over 2.5 is 13-5. I think that's being greedy, though. So I'm quite happy to just stick with over 2.5 goals. I think that's a knocking selection this week.
What's the nap? What's your best bet this weekend? I found this particularly difficult with the matches you'd selected. Not that it's your fault. I just found it tough.
Say, I don't make the game. I'll go with that. Overs in the York Barnet game.
19-20.
Stats-wise, by far the strongest pick this week. I do like Luton and I do like Barnsley. That could be a double for people maybe looking to pick two teams in form. I think I'll stick with that. Over 2.5 goals in York Barnet at 19-20.
I'm going to go with Barnsley at 19-20 then. You mentioned it there. It was between that and Jay Simpson to score any time. But I'm going to go with 19-20 Barnsley to continue their fine run. A double, 2.8-1. Over 2.5 goals in the York Barnet game for Alex and for myself. Barnsley to beat Southend at 19-20.
Let's make it a treble with Pete Farry's selection, because of course he does the championship version of this.
He does.
And I spoke to him this morning. If you want to hear that podcast, by the way, it's just above us on the playlist here.
Yeah.
And there's some really key games as well in the championship this weekend. He's gone for Burnley away from home at Huddersfield. They are a whopping 29-20. They're top of the table.
Do you think that's whopping then as well?
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
We agreed on that. And when me and Pete agree on things, it's not good for anybody else.
It's catastrophic.
Not to be anyway. But yeah, I think they're a really good bet there. You've got a side who are top of the table in great form against a Huddersfield side who are good, don't get me wrong, but it's massive.
That treble, available here to back with William Hill. Over 2.5 goals, York versus Barnet at 19-20. Barnsley at 19-20. And Burnley in the championship at 29-20. 8.31 to 1, that treble. Don't forget you can follow both myself and Alex on Twitter at AlexDunn0307 and at DKellner are your Twitter handles. You can download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. And of course, you can access us via iTunes as well and get this podcast delivered weekly. Just go to iTunes and again, type in William Hill and subscribe now. All the podcasts available online. You've got this league podcast, you've got the championship podcast, you've got the European football podcast, and so on and so forth. There's lots for you to get your tea stuck into this weekend.
And if you don't like listening to mine or Dave's voices, then maybe best to stay clear of the William Hill podcast this week, because I think we've got a clean sweep.
We're on them all, I think. Yeah. We're on them all. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.